house today. I tell you what, just such good worship just there. And church, can we put our hands together for the band this morning? Amazing creative department that we have here. We've got such good leaders in this church, don't we? We've got such great teams in this church. You know, cafe teams out there right now preparing for us. And we all drive into the car park team. We've just got some wonderful people in this church. Why don't we give a round of applause for you? How amazing you are. Oh, come on, you can do a bit better. This is for you. Yeah. You are so good. Well, I've really enjoyed the series that we've been doing over the last month. Not Siri, but the series we've been doing of Secret Place Power. And sometimes she talks to me, she says the wrong things, and I end up at the wrong place. My wife says that I just don't pay enough attention. So last night, has anyone been to Eat Street before? Yeah. Well, did you know that here in Morayfield we have Eat Street? It's called Bite. Bite Street, I call it, but it's just called Bite. Anyway, we were going there last night, and my wife goes, oh, do you know where to turn and where to go? And I'm like, yeah, babe, I'm all over this. Like, you just let me lead. Let me be the head here. And so here we are driving down the highway, and I jump in the middle lane for some random reason, and the left turn's just a little bit ahead. And she starts talking, and we're literally going past the exit. She's like, do you know where you're going? That's our exit. So I just cut across and did all the Bible stuff, you know, that God tells us to do. I just cut straight across all the traffic and went straight into the turn lane. And but, you know, really, I don't think it was my fault. She's the one talking. Like, and I just said, babe, do you want me to listen or drive? Apparently, you can do both at the same time. I don't know what world she lives on, but anyway. We can do more than one thing. I've been loving this series, and I think it's been really bringing a lot of light to the way we can do relationship with God. And I love that. You know, something that I've learned to understand, I'm fully aware of, is that the devil will use busyness. He will use your work. He will use your troubles. He will use your partner. He will use the wrong turning lane, anything to distract you from having a relationship with God. He will use anything to get into your day to stop us having communion with God. Has anyone noticed that, or am I the only one? Yeah. You go to pray and you think, I'm going to spend 10 minutes to pray, and then you all these things come up and they distract you. But, you know, the truth is we've been shedding light on this. And, you know, as the devil tries to make us feel guilty for the way we have relationship with God, we've been teaching this month that there are many ways we can do this. Do you remember the message Pastor Mel spoke a few weeks ago, where she was talking about the different spiritual characteristics that we all have? And just like we all have a different character in life, I'm quite laid back generally, and I'm reasonably passive in a lot of things, and I think about a lot of things. But that's also sometimes how I approach God. And, you know, in the flip of that, sometimes when I approach God also, I leave my character or my normal self behind, and I say, well, God, here I come in, and I'm going to come in bold into your presence. But the thing is we all do it different. Yeah. And we can never allow the enemy to come and rob us of the power of our relationship. When we spend 5 minutes with the Almighty God, that's the best 5 minutes of our day. And we can never allow him guilt trip us, and by saying, well, you didn't even feel the presence of God, and or you endeavored to spend half an hour with God, but you only did five. You know, what sort of Christian are you? The devil is a liar. Do you believe that this morning? He is a liar. And what we have to do is stand up and go, you know, 1 minute, 1 second in the presence of Almighty God is better than all the other minutes of my day. Just one moment in his presence will transform my life. And devil, you might make me feel guilty right now, but I spend a moment serving my Savior. As you have been cast out, I have been brought in, because I am a child of God. So our relationships with God, no matter what level and whatever your relationship looks like, it's a stepping stone to greater things. You know, you might want greater intimacy with God. Well, start with where you are. And don't let the enemy diminish that, because it's powerful and it's mighty. And that excites me a little bit sometimes, you know. This morning I want to talk about real life relationship with God. And in a moment we're going to have a panel come up, and we're going to see some of our relationships with God in real life with some of the leaders and pastors of the church. But before we get there, I just want to read this scripture. 1 Thessalonians 5. That was great. That was powerful. So I just want to read this scripture this morning. Nah, not there. That was the opportunity. And 1 Thessalonians. Now, when I got a revelation of this scripture, it's transforming. Let me read it. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you and I. This is. Have you ever wondered the will of God for your life? Yeah, great, there it is. Great. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. And in everything, give thanks. You know, the pray without ceasing part, what it means is it means to bring every thought back to God. So in other words, in our human mind, in our human lives, to pray without ceasing or live without ceasing under the wing of God, as Pastor Rick has been preaching about, the hiding place, coming under the wing of God. When we pray without ceasing, what it is it's as we are doing every step, every thought, everything we do, always continually bring it back to God. Continual bringing back. You know, John Cameron says it like this. He says, God wants your every thought. He wants our every thought. If you're struggling with addiction, shift it, because he wants our every thought. You know, if you're struggling with the way you think, talk, act, process things, God wants your every thought. You know, and when we make a decision in our world, my every thought will be without ceasing. In other words, every time I start to think left field, I'm going to just bring it back. I'm going to arrest it and I'm going to bring it back. So why is this scripture so, so important to us? What it does is it positions us. It sets us up. It cultivates a heart of prayer. It cultivates a heart of worship. See, in my life, I've always struggled to do the 2 hours of prayer a day. You know what I'm talking about? You hear those stories of the amazing preachers and they pray an hour every single morning before they go to work, or they don't go to bed till midnight because from 11 to 12 is their prayer hour, you know. And I've always tried to line myself up with this. But first of all, I can't get up early. I've tried so much. It just won't happen for me. I'm pretty good at the late thing, but my wife always wants to watch Netflix before we go to bed. So it's hard to get up, you know, after that. But the thing is our lives are different. And as I've learned this scripture of praying without ceasing, of having a heart of gratitude and joy in everything I do, I've realized that it cultivates for me that desire for prayer. As in my everyday life, and I'm walking and I'm just going, shaka si aradamati aradamati, and I'm doing a task and I just start praying in the spirit. You know, as Pastor Rick walks around this church from his office to my office, I always hear him just praying in tongues. You know, and then he does these detours, weird detours, and he just walks around the auditorium and starts just praying over the chairs as he's walking to his office. Because what he's doing is taking every thought to captivity, and he's saying, I have 30 seconds right now and I'm going to choose to pray with that rather than think about this or that. You know, and when we do that, we go home and guess what we want to do? We want to continue in prayer. We want to continue to worship. See, Sunday worship for us isn't our moment too. It's the overflow of. In other words, because we cultivate through our continual prayer in the spirit, taking every thought into captivity, we cultivate that desire to be intimate with God. And when we come to church on Sunday, guess what happens? We all overflow. And we have mornings like this morning. How powerful the presence of God here. Because it comes in our overflow. Is that good? Yeah. So you get something from that this morning?
Great,
Amen. Awesome. Well, what we're going to do right now is I wanted to create an opportunity for us as a church to see how we do it, to see how the pastors and leaders of the church do it. And this is something that always interests me, is to see how other people do their relationship with God. So, church, right now, can we put our hands together and welcome up to the platform Pastor Rick and Jen, Pastor Mel, Henry, and Stu and Frida. Bit of a hot seat for these guys today. And we're also going to put up on the screens a phone number, and you have the opportunity to be involved this morning. So what I would love is if you have a question that you have always wanted to ask one of your leaders about how we do relationship with God, this is your opportunity. Be wise with your text. We don't want to waste this text. But it's a moment. So once you grab your phone out, you're allowed to use phones in church today. It's okay. And text through any question at all to that number. And what we'll do is we'll ask these guys that question, if it's good, if it's proper. Sound good? Excellent. Proper. Don't sit on my phone. Excellent. All right. So what I'd like to do, guys, is I'm just going to ask a few questions. And we might start with everybody answering this question. But the one I would like to start with this time is, first of all, do you pray and read the Bible? And if so, what does your routine look like? Is it okay to jump straight to three?
Sure.
And what does your routine look like with praying and reading the Bible?
Yeah, of course I pray and read the Bible. Who doesn't? Who doesn't? Put your hand up. No, everyone, yeah, that's good. No, Much what Pastor Graham was just saying, everyone does have a routine of sorts. I have a routine of sorts. I normally sit up till 11, 12, 1 o'clock in the morning. I just have to do it. It's not that something that I wanted to do in the sense that I've got to do it, otherwise I won't be holy. I've got to do it, otherwise I'll never get there with God. It's... As you walk along in God, as we all do, you press into Him, and you begin to get a hunger for God. And as you start to delve into His Word a little bit and spend time with Him in your quiet place, it might be your other bedroom, or you might have a study or something like that, or in your car, it doesn't really matter. But for me, I do it on the bus in the morning when I go to Bribie, and that gives me my half an hour. But also of a night time, that's very, very precious to me. Very precious. It's sometimes I just start reading, and I haven't, like Mel is so cultured and structured, she colours in, she's got 4 books. Well, Mel, I've got 12. But I only read one. No, I have got about 12 there, but I only read one. Sometimes 2, sometimes 3, but very rarely. But I'll just open the Bible. I haven't got a structure. I just open the Bible and I just start reading. And I find when I haven't got a goal, like I've got to read Matthew or I've got to read Acts, just something different happens for me. I just open the Bible and start reading. Then there's a little reference scripture, John 13, so I'll turn to that. Then it says Job 36, and I'll turn to that. And before I know it, I'm so overwhelmed. Sometimes I sit there and I just kiss the Bible. I just say, God. I just shake my head and say, you're just unreal. Because when you jump from verse to verse and from a scripture reference to reference, I don't know. Well, for me, see, and that's why we're all so different. For me, God just takes me there and that's it. And you might have a structure where you read your Gospels and then you might read the Old Testament, and that's fine. So I don't see there's any right or wrong there, Pastor Gray. It's I never used to do that. I used to think I had to read the whole Bible, which I did. I read the whole Bible from cover to cover and got nothing out of it. Well, I thought I got nothing out of it. But I think 20 years down the track, you realize that this pops in. You said this or you didn't do that because you read that once. You don't know where it is, so it doesn't matter. So the Word of God is just beautiful. Just read it. Just open it. Reference it, and you will enjoy it. And you'll get such a hunger, you're going to do it every night. You won't want to put it down.
Yeah, that's great. Pastor Jen?
I'm not the most structured person in the world. I usually get my one devotion sent to me every day that I read, and I have my favourite spot in my house is in front of my bookshelf because I love books, and And I just sit down and I'll open up the Bible. Depending on what season I'm in, sometimes I'll open Psalms and I'll just start reading until God speaks to me, and then I'll just stay there. But also I discovered a few weeks ago that I'm a naturalist and I see God in nature. So the other place I love to go is a park down the road, and God speaks to me through all different things. Like, just, you know, like I'll look at the tree and God will speak to me. There's just so many moments through the day where God will speak to me, and it's just that real, like, wow, you're amazing. Like, for instance, I've got a quick example. Like, a few days ago, it was the end of last week, I actually asked God for a silver-lined cloud. So a cloud with a silver lining, I said to God. And I said, please, God. And I know that for some people that's weird, yeah. But for me, I just really did ask that. And I was at my daughter's place, and I looked up and I went, oh, my gosh, there's a silver lining on the cloud. And I took a photo, and it was, like, so amazing, and it was so God. And, like, it was just a moment. But I think that's where I connect with God as well. So, yeah.
I asked God for 7 numbers for Lotto. But...
For myself, when I first became a Christian, there was no routine. There was hardly any praying and Bible reading. So I figured out that we had to actually work at it and get into a routine. So now I've got a routine. But it's this journey, it's a process. And I found that I had to be accountable. So I started doing devotions and stuff like that with other people. And I still do that today because life just gets on top of us sometimes. So my routine is, from as soon as I wake up, I'm just consistently asking for help during the day with everything, because we've got to put Jesus in everything. So it's from waking up, walking to the car, waking up, all, you know, during the day, and then just asking him to take everything from the day so you can sleep peacefully and then do it all over again. So that's become a routine. And yeah, so it is a process, and you've really got to work on it. It's not a routine at the beginning, but yeah. And join life groups, that helps as well. And being accountable to somebody.
So I like that. So you're talking about the journey, I suppose, of our relationship with God. Obviously from salvation even.
Yeah.
We get saved and then we realise, thank God, there's someone else now in our lives. And so how we build that is a journey, and your journey has looked different.
And I think being too busy to pray or read the Bible is never an excuse. Yeah. We need prayer more than anything. It needs to be something that's sacred. And we can't be too busy not to pray. That is like our priority.
So. Cool. So just the next question would be, how do you go about building relationship with God? And how do you think God forms relationship with you? Do you want to start, Mel?
Well, it's a huge part of the daily routine, I suppose, in how you cultivate relationship with God. I unpacked a little bit of that in a message, as Pastor Ray said, a couple of weeks ago. But it's been a journey to discover how I do relationship with God through the different ways that God's created me to commune with him. Which is awesome. So I do relationship with God very routined, because I'm an ordered, organized person who likes structure and can fit a lot in if I have lots and lots of order. Maybe a part of my control nature, but it's either way. So I start really, really early in the morning, and I spend my first part of the day. That's just something my parents said to me, was always start your day with God. And so that's actually just a learnt behavior, is to start with the Word of God, and I literally do it the same as my mum, and that is in bed with my Bible. It's a physical Bible, I'm not a digital person, which is in my bedside table, but I don't have one. I was saying this in the early service, I have four translations of the Word of God, and at the beginning of every year I pick 12 books, and for one, whatever month I'm up to, I read that one book through as many times as possible in all the translations that I have, finishing with, as Dad was saying before, a colouring in version one, because I'm also creative. So it's like a reward for getting to the end of Job. You know, like, you get to colour it in. It's awesome. Not everybody is clearly colouring in people. So, but I am, and so it's a really big deal for me. And then I love to talk to God, and I talk to God just like I talk to you or talk to Gray or anybody. And I do it way before my family is up, so I do sound like the psycho lady talking to herself in her house while I clean. And because every morning I like to...
I don't do that.
I do clean.
So my house is really, really clean, and it's not because I'm a super neat freak. It's actually because I love to spend time with God, and so I've never seen it as a chore because I pair it together. Wow. I'm preparing for my day, both for my family and with God, and so I've always just paired it together. So that's how I do it with him. I notice, however, you just asked how God does it with me. I suppose that's the way I worship and speak to God and tell him about my life. But I obviously need to hear from him. And so that comes through his word. I, however, in the car, don't play music, and I never have. I never play the radio, and I never play worship. Everybody gets in my car, turns my radio on, and I have now all the radio programs untuned because I don't like music. Because it is the silence that I hear God in the solitude, in my car, after I've dropped the kids to school. It's that time that I usually hear from God in return.
Stu, I'll ask you the same question, but before I do, I just want to say, I hear God through my imagination. So a lot of my earlier Christian walk, I really, really struggled with this idea of hearing God. Because I was waiting for a voice, I was waiting for the scriptures to pop out at me, I was, you know, all the stuff you hear, until I realized that I daydream like crazy. Yeah. And then I realized one day when I was doing a conference, I was leading a worship team into a conference, and God started making me dream. And I was just at the back before we walked on platform, and I started daydreaming all these amazing things that could happen in 30 seconds when we walk out in front of this 700 people, kids. And God started, my brain just started going places, and I realized in that moment God was speaking. And so I got our music, the guy that was running, the song leader of the day, and I said, hey bro, would you trust me? And he's like, yeah. So I sent him out to lead free worship with no band, and he went out, and I said, we're all on in ears, and I said, when you go out, this is going to go for a really long time, but I think God wants to do something. He trusted me. He came out and just started singing. No structure, no song, free worship. Just started singing. Honestly, it went for about 5 minutes. Wow. And about 5 minutes in, I just said to the guys, the rest of the team, let's go out. And we walked out from behind the walls, and there were 700 kids just in tears, like non-saved kids, crying. With my in-ears in, I could hear weeping and just all this stuff. And I was just like, God, you speak to me like that. And now I realize he speaks to me all the time. So God wants to commune with us. Stu, how's it for you?
Yeah, my journey is unstructured as well. I don't have a routine. I don't have anything to follow by. There's no how to do list to follow God. I think God speaks to me in different ways, how God speaks to everyone else right here in this church. And then for me, it's my routine, or when I did find a routine, or did I have a structure put in place. And I had to think about it a lot, because just watching other leaders do, how they do things, how they sort of watched and listened to, how they have a formal relationship with God. For me, it was very different, because I'm very, very young as being a Christian, but also having their hunger to know who God is. And for me, it's, I've never heard God speak to me audibly. It's just a feeling. And when I do fall into the presence of God, my routine is like I drive for a living. So most of the time by myself is in the truck, in the cab, which is just me and the music, me and God. And sometimes I'm like with Pastor Mel, I shut the radio down and just listen out.
You don't colour in while you're driving?
No, I do not colour in, that's for sure. But I do know that having this relationship with God has helped me built to know who I am. To know who I am, to form this identity that God is like trying to tell me. That's through just being silent. And I love this scripture, like to know who God is and just be still. And understanding so that he is forming a relationship with you. It's not just one-sided, it goes both ways. And I think I love it when in the book of James, like the more you go closer to God, God will come closer to you.
Yeah.
And that's by being consistent. And it's not having this one, today I'll get in touch with God, and then having a Tuesday day off. Because God doesn't have a way. God doesn't rest. And he does have a rest on the seventh day, but he does want us to seek him more. Yeah, so I think it's
so. So I've got a question here from our audience today. And it says, have you been offended by the Lord? And how did you react? I like that, because relationship isn't one-sided with God, is it? So relationship, like any relationship with God, God wants relationship with us and that we seek relationship with Him. So in that, we are offensive sometimes, perhaps in our language, not that He gets offended, but we are offensive in our attitude. But has God ever offended one of you guys?
He is our rock of offense. The Bible tells us that. It's one of the attributes of God that I actually love and embrace and try to offend you. And not to be offensive, but when I'm being offended by God, it causes me to look at that offense moment and have a decision. Am I viewing something through my preference or through my perceptions or my sensitivities or my insecurities? Because God's word is true and in Him is no lie. God loves me. He has the best for me. So when I get offended, guess who needs to move? And sometimes God will push us to that place where the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of change. So it forces us into this mode where we have to push through into what God has for us. So yeah, absolutely. That's often God will come up to me and people, I don't think people actually believe this, but God will sometimes speak to me like He would never speak to you. So some of God's opening statements to me in my heart, what are you doing, you idiot? You know, what's wrong with you, your girly blouse? You know, and He will literally just challenge me right where I am because that's, you know, I know that that's that provoking. Hey, what? You know, that He wants to shift me out of those things. And we've got to be really careful because sometimes people just react to that and they get all their knickers in a knot when God is just saying, get over yourself and grow in me. So He provokes that. So yeah, I like it.
Is anyone else?
I wouldn't say He's offended me. I don't ever recall being offended by God. But what I do recall is like an uncomfortableness, which could be said as that, as an offence maybe, that I used to get, we get to stages where we pray and ask God things for, ask God for things, to do things on our behalf and to do that. And I know I've been arrested, that I've been using God as a housemaid, as a servant.
Wow.
Oh Lord, can you, Father, I just need, oh Lord, I need a breakthrough. Can you just do this for me? And here's a poor old God just running around and doing all these things for me. And that really took me back. God is not my handmaid. He's not my servant. He's my Father and He's my God. And though He will do anything I want, and whatever we pray, He hears us and He will acknowledge us and do it. But it's not in a form of a servant or in that form. So in that sense, maybe.
That's great. Yeah, that's great. I've got this one too, Frieda, I might ask you. If you've got bad habits in your world that will try and distract you and keep you away from intimacy with God, with your relationship with God, how do you go about breaking those habits in your world in order for you to be able to pursue God better? On the spot right there.
I'm trying to think of bad habits that what I actually do.
Stu can tell you.
She does. Yes.
Yeah, honestly.
Yeah. Okay, so bad habits. I think at the beginning of my Christian walk, it was hard to, I didn't know to go to God first. So I'd stay in whatever that bad habit is, and then you kind of hit rock bottom, and then that's when you start crying out. I got better at it, at turning to God, but I'd always turn to my husband. My kids will see it sometimes that I'm struggling and then they'll come and hug me and that's it, and that's when you hit rock bottom again and you're just a mess and just in tears and then crying out to God. And then I got better at it, so I used to go to God first. It's easy to say, we always say, yeah, God first, but this world is so busy.
Yeah.
You know, we get lost in it and then we forget and then we're just living that day by day.
Yeah. Frieda, what's that God first look like for you? Are you talking about you go to worshipping God? Do you thank God?
No,
do
I
you
cry
yell
to
at
him.
God?
I cry, yeah. I just go to him and cry and just ask him for forgiveness, yeah, for whatever's happened. And then I just feel this love, and then I just cry some more. And then I'm in awe, and then I feel better. And then when it, you know, that bad habit or whatever comes back, it's easier to just like, nah, I'm good. Yeah.
So come into my mind right now is, do we all know the scripture where it says, you know, the Holy Spirit's our counselor,
yeah,
and he's our helper in time of need. Would you say that this is like part of that process of the Holy Spirit counseling?
Yeah, definitely.
And helping.
Definitely. And it's stronger now. So it's like a process, like what I said before, the process. But you've actually got to put some work into it and think about it, you know, and think about it in here as well, and go to him. It's just close your eyes wherever you are and just ask him, because you ask and you'll receive,
yeah,
if you believe it. Yeah, so I just started believing it and it just got better and easier.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Mel, do you have...
Yeah, for that same scenario for me, I think holding yourself accountable is a great one.
That's
and
great.
Of course, sometimes it's really hard to hold yourself accountable, so to have some people who really trusted, amazing, wise, counseled friends, do that is great. I'm not like Freed's, where my default is to run to God, even though it's in my office as a big go to him, ask God first. I seem to miss that poster and, you know, see the one that says, she is beauty instead, or something, you know, that I don't really need. So I've actually got a couple of trusted friends, because I've found in my world, I tend to default to tell trusted friends when I'm not okay. And so I've actually commissioned a couple of those friends to not empathize with me. Yes, empathize, but don't voice it. So ask me, have I asked God about it? Yeah, and so I've literally commissioned, that happened very early in this house. I literally asked Louisa Snelling. She's an amazing girl. I think she's at Colour still. So jealous. But I asked her because I knew she had the strength to turn around and go, sounds great, Mel. Have you asked God about it? And that would be her first thing out of her lips, rather than listening to what my complaint was or listening to my pity party or whatever it was. In whatever that is, I got a trusted friend who points me back to where I'm supposed to go and reminds me and then holds me accountable to it. So, yeah, it's awesome.
It's great. Stu?
Yeah, I've seen, just hearing Frida speak, I've seen her grow into this woman she is right now. And every time I turn around, this might be about 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning, I turn around and Frida's in her notebook. She's in her Bible and she's just reading the... Just reading, and it annoys me because she's doing that. But at the same time, I'm so grateful that I do have a wife that does that for us. And it's she stands in the gap, not just for me, but she stands in the gap for everyone.
Yeah.
And I see her, and I said something cheeky to her. Can you ask God for the lottery numbers? And just went back to bed. Obviously, that didn't come through, but I'm in awe what Frida does with her life with God, and she does this intimacy that I've seen through her journey with Christ. That she's like a role model to me, and or to also other kids as well. But it's good that she not only just looks after us, even though I'm the head of the house, I know that. But you know, us fathers like to run to the one, because they always know best. yeah.
Brownie points. Aren't they an amazing couple? They're our youth leaders. Can we, yeah, put our hands together? Such a great couple. And just finally, our last question I want to ask. Pastor Rick, perhaps you can start off on this. In today's world, with all of its pressures, what advice do you give for your church to deepen their relationship with God?
It's going to sound quite spiritual, but as a pastor, that's probably a good thing. But for me, it's like, yeah. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And in today's world, where everything is vying for your attention, 30,000 sensate impressions trying to track us down every single day, seek first the kingdom of God. And it doesn't happen by accident. It has to be intentional that you go, I want to be this person. And I want to be a man of God. I want my mind transformed. I want my heart focused on him. And so then everything else from my world kind of flows out from that centerpiece. And then I just adjust it. And it doesn't mean that I kick every goal that I go for. And it doesn't mean that every day happens the way that it's planned. But the most important thing in my world is go, that is my intention before my Father in heaven. And so then because I'm looking for that, I'm going to carve out those moments, whatever they look like. So maybe I don't get half an hour with God today. Maybe I get 5 minutes on the way from here to there. And, you know, but I'm not going to waste my time in the car. I'm going to, you know, spend that doing a podcast or praying or, you know, ringing up. God will lay on my heart somebody. I'll be driving along and I'll just ring them. Hey, Siri, ring so-and-so. And then I'll speak into their life and it'll be just that right time. So it's literally just taking that verse really practically and going, this is how I seek first the kingdom of God, as I place him utmost in my thoughts and I'm intentional towards it.
So powerful. Excellent. Well, why don't we put our hands together for the panel? Don't we have amazing leaders and pastors in this church? So grateful for everything they give and contribute. You know, as we've been going through this whole season, I suppose, of pursuing God, I just think it's so important for us to train our minds to take that as a battleground and go, you know what, I'm going to bring every thought into captivity. Like Pastor Rick just said, it's the way we start to cultivate our relationship with God. And you know, as we've been doing the panel, I'm aware that there's people here today in this very service and you're listening to all this and you're going, you know what, I would love to have such a relationship with God. And you perhaps today, your heart is turning and maybe a bit jittery inside and you want to know the Lord as your Savior. You want to know that Jesus Christ died for you and he rose again to give you an amazing life so that we as a church community can have a relationship with God. That it's not just about eternal life, but it's also about our life here and now. Because here's the truth, church, is God has so much in store for you. For every single one of us, he has so much purpose for our lives. He has gifted you with so many amazing gifts that come out of who he is. And he's given them to you and I so that we can impact other people's world, so that we can grow an amazing church community, so that we can change Morayfield and Caboolture, so we can change our government and influence it for good and for God. And so there's amazing gifts in your life and God wants to use those things. And perhaps today you're saying, I don't know this God. I want to have a relationship. I want to be on the journey of being close to God and having his intel into my life, seeing what he sees for me, you know, because he sees so much greatness in you.